Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way, podcast. Brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
Primetime on Football Friday, 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game. A unique game. Played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Driven by Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. A short drive from anywhere. Visit dodgeofgresham.com.
That's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up, we've got sexual harassment in sports again.
Sexual harassment, panda.
And we have Matt Damon getting a lot of heat.
Did you see Barkley punch Shaq last night and then run?
I did not.
I love the that TNT crew. They were doing, you know, sometimes they go on the court and Kenny drove around and Shaq threw him a forearm and about knocked him down. And then Chuck kind of playfully punched Shaq in the chest and then ran away. Like, there was that brief moment where you could see Shaq maybe was taking it a little too seriously, and Chuck just turned and ran. And if you ever want to know how big Shaquille O'Neal is, just watch him standing next to other NBA Hall of Fame players. That man is enormous and terrifying.
So, some sexual harassment talk coming up. We're emptying out the notebook because, well, vacation.
Yeah.
So, there's some stuff here.
You're a short timer.
But we'll get to it. But I want to get to the things that I teased there. Did you like, so speaking of last night in television, did you enjoy the camera angles?
I do like the new camera angles.
The Broncos-Colts game last night, they were experimenting with new camera angles, and the camera was kind of behind the quarterback or above the quarterback.
Yeah, and they did that. What was the game? Was that the snow game they had to do that? They did one earlier this year. Maybe it was the fog game, and that's the angle that they had. Was that what it was? Was it fog that came in? I really like that. And maybe it's because if you grew up playing like video games, you grew up playing like Madden or college football, that's what you're used to watching. And then for me, it's like kind of, that's a little bit like the All-22. When you would watch game film as an offensive lineman, that's the view you watched. It was a little bit higher up and it stayed there. It didn't move, but I like that camera angle and I'd kind of like to see more of it.
It was pretty cool because if you didn't see that game last night, I don't blame you. Hey, the Broncos won.
Yeah. Which actually is probably not good news for the Broncos.
Yeah, because of draft picks and stuff.
Well, you're fighting for draft position. I mean, so they were a game ahead of Indianapolis. It would behoove them to lose and then gain a spot on the Colts.
Well, anyway, they won. And it was really cool because when you look at it from that view, you can see exactly what the quarterback is looking at.
Yes.
And it kind of adds this element of, hey, oh, that guy's open, throw it there. Or when, like Osweiler threw a couple, actually the one touchdown pass that he threw, well, he threw multiple touchdown passes, but the second one.
The one in the corner of the end zone?
No, the one over the middle where the guy, he caught it and then he ran it in. It was their 20, when they went from 14 to 21. Mm-hmm. And, he threw that, and I'm sure that if you're a Bronco fan, you were going, oh, terrible
no.
throw. He missed him because he was late.
Yeah.
Because you can see it all unfold. You know, you can see the coverage. You can see the guys running their routes, and it's like, oh, man, he was open, and then he threw it way late. Well, then it, you know, the guy happened to catch it and run it in the end zone. But it's very interesting to see that dynamic because you can see exactly what he's looking at, and you can go through your own progressions. You can kind of move your eyes around.
Well,
like
Simeon's interception, the one where he threw into double coverage.
Now, see, I didn't see it until later.
That's the one where that angle, like what you're talking about, like as the ball's going, everyone universally watching that game was like, why? Why are you like everyone could see it, but. It's going to lead to more armchair quarterbacking because there is still a huge difference between watching it from that angle
No, there's not.
And then trying to see over offensive linemen while someone's trying to take your head off. But I'm with you. I think that angle, it's the best representation of what the play looks like to each individual.
Well, yeah, it's like
on the field.
You want to see how hard quarterbacking is. Yeah. And I was kidding by saying, yeah. No, it's not.
I know.
Because those guys are running for their life. I mean, they have just seconds to get away from, well, you know, the defense.
Oh, yeah.
Who's trying to kill them. But I think that it's... Last night was the Colts. Like, they're not very good. No. And you could tell that angle actually shows, I think it shows, it highlights better how good the defense is, because you can see guys try to cover way better than you could from the other angle. And so you not only can watch I think you can watch the layers of football a little better from that angle, because you can watch not only the line try to, you know, get after the quarterback, but you can watch guys drop back into coverage. You can watch the DBs, and you can see it all from either perspective, the offense and the quarterback, or the defense. And I tell you, watching the Colts defense, you could just see that they sucked, yeah. Right? Like, it will be interesting to watch from that angle. I don't know if they're going to do it anymore, but when you watch, say, I don't know, who's the best defense? Carolina
player, like, Minnesota.
How fun would it be to watch that angle with Aaron Rodgers going up against Carolina's defense this weekend?
Yeah, and I was reading about it. So it started with it was the Patriots and the Falcons, and that was the heavy fog. And so they said that was really the only angle they had that was clear. And so they went to it, and they thought it looked pretty good. And the reviews are mostly positive. And so now they've been experimenting with it. And so I guess NBC is going to be doing this on a more regular basis now, and testing out with some of the Thursday night footballs. And I like it. It's called the Sky Cam, and I hope they do more of it.
Super cool.
I think it's if I had my choice, one, you can move around, you can do different things. It's not like you have to run it exclusively that way, but I enjoy that angle, I think, more than the, the sideline view of it.
Oh, it's, yeah, like yeah. We were just saying, it's way better.
The only downside is that it can kind of...
it moves.
Yeah, it moves, and it can cut off the kind of the sides, but...
Yeah, well, sometimes you don't need to see the side.
Exactly. Like, especially if it's a running play, who gives a rip what the receiver's doing on the outside?
Look, you can see more.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Yeah. More of what matters.
Yeah. So it's awesome. So now I want to get to a story about pet stores.
Yeah, you were teasing this.
Have you not seen this, Jason?
No. What not to do in a pet store?
Yeah, this is probably not how you should go about your business in a pet store.
Don't tap on the glass. Don't, you know, put your hand in the
fish tank. Seen that Georgia has had three guys arrested already since being announced in the college football playoff?
No, I haven't seen that they've had three guys.
Two guys for a little bit of weed, mm-hmm. And one guy for a counterfeit $100 bill.
Ooh, that's not good.
So he's a freshman defensive back. His name is Latavius Brinney. And... this was back in July, and he passed off a $100 bill that was counterfeit at a pet store.
What?
Well, yeah. I mean,
first off, where do you even get a fake $100 bill? And second, the hell are you doing spending $100, like a fake $100 bill at a pet store? You going to PetSmart and like ripping off some kibble?
So he was taken into custody after an investigation, and he's been booked in jail. He's alleged by police to have used a fake $100 bill to purchase $8 worth of merchandise at Pet Supplies Plus in a shopping center in Athens. The $100 bill was later revealed to be counterfeit. During the July 14th purchase, Brinney is alleged to have provided a different name, Trevor Shorter, and address from his own, a different name and address from his own, when he agreed to sign up for a Pet Supplies Plus rewards card. So let me stop right there and tell you that he goes into Pet Supply Plus, and not only does he buy what he wants to buy, they ask him, do you want to sign up for the rewards card? He's like, oh, yeah. Well, 8 days later, according to the police report, the same cashier noticed him back in the store and using a debit card with his name on it. Which was different than the name on the Pet Supplies Plus card application. And so the guy put two and two together and said, and called his manager and said, that's the guy that brought in the, because you don't get a lot of $100 bills in the,
no,
in a pet store. He's like, he's back.
So word to the wise, if you are going to buy pet merchandise with counterfeit money, maybe not go back to the same store. Couldn't you just go to a different pet store, or is that like the pet store in Athens? And it's
no, I think they have the best stuff. It's like, look, if you've ever owned pets, you know,
and the deals
like Western Pet Supply, you ever go there?
No.
Oh, that place
that's the place.
Oh, it's badass.
Now, was he just doing this to get change? Like, he
got everything.
He bought $8 worth of stuff. Yeah. He's just, he wanted the 90, you know, the 90 bucks.
Absolutely. That's what, remember that was the whole thing with, who's the Browns? Josh Gordon did at Baylor.
Yeah. Like you'd go and.
You'd buy McDonald's 5 cheeseburgers or whatever, and you get $95 back in cash, real cash.
Gosh, all from a pet supply store, and he decided to go back. Except this time he was actually buying pet supplies with his debit card. I guess I read that he's a redshirt guy and he hasn't played all year, so won't have any impact except for the fact that he's an idiot and more than likely get kicked off the team unless he's a really good freshman, then maybe they keep him around.
Yeah, whatever. I don't really care about him. I just thought it was funny.
Going back.
And people saying that he may not have known it was counterfeit. My butt.
Yeah, how many counterfeit bills have you come across in your entire life?
Well, like maybe you've used one that you didn't know was fake. Like it was in circulation.
Yeah.
I don't know how often that happens. How often are fake bills in circulation?
I think very, very, very rarely.
But when they're put into circulation, you know damn well that somebody who's putting it in knows that it's fake.
And you just so happen.
Especially, yeah, you buy $8.
You buy $8 with a $100 bill at the food supply, at the pet food supply store? Yeah, clearly. Not exactly Bonnie and Clyde here.
All right. In our next segment, let's talk about what was next.
I don't know what you had left in the. You were emptying the tickle trunk.
I was?
Yeah.
Oh, more sports sexual harassment?
Oh, yeah. We had sexual harassment panda news.
Yeah, we've got more. And Matt Damon also, I would like to talk about. Oh, and you know what else too? There's more on Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, he got, he's getting charged again. Well, I guess not charged, accused.
So all that coming up, folks, it's Isaac and Souk on The Fan. You think later in his life they'll do an SNL skit on Michael Bublé just like they did Goulet and it'll be Bublé.
Well, there was a bit going around earlier this year that they freeze Michael Bublé and then only they thaw him out just for the holiday season. And then like in January, like after New Year's, he goes back into
the cave. Han Solo cryos freeze or whatever.
Well, think about it. That guy doesn't do anything for 11 months out of the year. And he rolls out December 1st, makes like a gajillion dollars, and then goes and hangs out with this hot Brazilian model.
He doesn't tour or anything? How do you know that?
When do you ever hear of Michael Bublé when it's not Christmas time?
Well, he came through here.
Yeah, he came through here this last summer or spring or something.
I don't think
he's on the radio.
Yeah.
He's got hits.
He's
on TV.
Not really. Yeah, he's on Christmas specials.
He does the Winter Olympics torch thing.
See, and now I think you're just grasping at straws. You don't know if any of those things are true. Like Swag's like, he came through during...
Yeah.
Spring,
he's baby, on
summer, winter Olympics.
He's on that show called Green Mountain TV.
Mm-hmm. Michael Bublé is Christmas. It's what he does.
He's very good at his Christmas.
He is, but it's weird that that's the kind of the niche that he's carved out. Like, who knew that the world needed one of those? And yet Bublé fit right in there.
Well, this brings up a whole other
thing.
He's great. He is great, and I think he does way more than you're giving him credit for, but... at this point, I can't defend that, so I'll just let you win.
I think it's inaccurate, but I don't really know.
I'm going to stand down. I think that's inaccurate, but I'll stand down on that. What group or musician do you want to hear more Christmas stuff from?
Can I say Michael Bublé's wife? Because you should look her up.
What's her name?
Luciana Lopetato or something.
Is Michael Bublé the man?
Yes, he's the man. If you were coming up with you trading places with someone,
Bublé.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, she's pretty.
Bublé would be very, very high on the list of people that I would I'd Freaky Fridays swap with. Who I want to hear more from? I really like around the holidays, and the same thing I never hear from them any other time of the year. It's the, I don't know if it's Celtic or the Celtic Women. I'm not sure which.
No, I'm saying bands you want, like bands you think or group or artists you think would be really, really good
at Christmas. Oh, doing a holiday album.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now, I went to the Lumineer show the other night.
Uh-huh.
And while it wasn't the greatest show,
yeah,
they only played for an hour. It's kind of one of those where it's like, these guys, they're moving on to their next tour stop. You know, we've all been to those.
Yeah. Shows.
But I like them. I think they're good. I think they would be really cool with on a Christmas album.
Doing a Christmas show?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by this now. I want to, because I like when like they do the very special Christmas and like, you know, Springsteen does the Merry Christmas Baby and U2. John Lennon has the great Christmas tune. So you get a lot of those people that dabble in them. I'm trying to think of a band that I would like to see do a full on Christmas album.
Like, has Pearl Jam ever done anything like that?
I don't know.
How badass would that be?
Like, the first thing that came to my mind was like, I'm a huge Metallica fan. I want to hear Metallica sing the hits. Like, I don't want them to put like their own holiday album out. I want them to do holiday standards.
You want them to do Silent Night?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I want like Jingle Bells with Hetfield working some power vocals.
Little
there.
Drummer Boy where they're going berserk.
Yes. Give me Lars doing the first Noel working a drum line on that. Let's see what happens.
Ooh, the Killers. That would be good. They would be awesome.
Dave, I'm a huge Foo Fighters guy, but Dave Grohl can do anything. Like, I would like to hear Dave Grohl's take on some Christmas classics. That could be quite fun. And if he's dead, but the man who I think is the greatest frontman in the history of rock and roll, who could sing opera and anything else, I would love to hear Freddie Mercury sing a Christmas album with. Just think of the arrangements that Queen comes up with.
Oh, yeah.
Everything from Killer Queen.
And then get the full symphony behind him, too.
Yeah, the whole thing behind there. And then you get Freddie's pipes doing a Christmas album. Like, if there's any sort of, like, afterlife there, like, you die and you get, like, one wish, I'm going to go ahead and reunite the ghosts of Queen to come out and give me a little holiday cheer.
Is it, the Killers have 10 original Christmas songs? No, see, I don't want originals. I don't want original Christmas songs.
No, you want.
I want the classics.
You want your "Hark the Herald," "Joy to the World," "Oh Holy Night."
By those groups, yeah, that's something I want.
Some people are throwing out Pantera, Gwar.
Oh, Lynch is listening to the show. That's nice of him.
A very NWA Christmas.
Little Public Enemy, Chuck D.
There you go. Instead of the Great Southern Trend Kill, the Great Southern Christmas Kill from Pantera. Just up there doing some growling. Missing you, Dimebag. Every day we think about you.
Do you think that in music, doing a Christmas album like of the...
It just screams sellout?
Yeah. I think a lot of bands... That's why you don't have it from a lot of bands. They're like, yeah, we're not doing a Christmas
album. Yeah, once Boyz II Men put out and say, oh, their career's done. Thanks for coming.
But that's kind of
my
point.
It's the Vegas tour for you.
But that's kind of my thing is, yeah, it's viewed that way. But for people like Mariah, how much money has Mariah Carey made off that one? Like,
has Adele put out her Christmas album yet?
See, that would... If she did, it's a gajillion dollars. Except Mariah Carey would probably murder her. I think if you try to put out a Christmas album...
I don't know. Adele looks like she can handle her business.
You have to, like, kiss the ring of Mariah Carey to get her approval. But she had that one holiday album with the one song.
Yeah, the one song, All I Want for Christmas.
And it's a whole album. And by the way, she is... On that album cover, I don't know if they set the airbrush to full power or what. But that the cover of that Christmas album... She is smoking in the Mrs. Claus outfit, but that's a whole holiday album. But just that one song, I don't even want to, I can't even fathom the amount of money she's made off of that one song. Same thing with like Bublé, and that's not selling out. Like, they're universally celebrated for it. So it's all about finding like your little niche there.
Yeah.
And they've got it. And then of course you got like the whole like, Amy Grant and Vince Gill, anyone that's like full Team Jesus, they're doing that.
That's
that whole thing.
But that's, I just feel like there's.
I love how we're talking Christmas and then once we brought up Team Jesus, everyone's like,
no thanks.
Rob doesn't want to have Christmas ruined by, you know, Jesus.
Yeah. Get out of here with that.
Can I get the Pitbull Christmas album?
He needs to go away.
A very Latin Pitbull Christmas.
Yeah.
That guy does everything. He's everywhere.
If you want the party Christmas,
he cranks it up. I feel like Pitbull's the most successful person that no one likes. Like, no one likes Pitbull, but he's everywhere. Guy's like plays like every halftime show, and guy's huge.
Did Timberlake do one?
I could see him doing one.
See that? You know, I don't know if he did. I think I would buy that. If you gave me Timberlake spins the hits, sign me up for iTunes. I'll pay my $9.99 for that. Timberlake's great. Like, you can be all you want, be some macho jerk and be like, oh, Justin Timberlake. Timberlake's like one of the most likable dudes ever. He's insanely talented.
Loves golf.
He's funny. He's a sports guy. Yeah, I would buy
not,
that one.
Not afraid to make fun of himself doing SNL sketches.
Timberlake's fantastic.
There is an NSYNC Christmas album, if you like. But it doesn't look like...
I need more Timberlake, less Fatone, if you will. Sorry, Lance. I'm going to need you to step aside there. Let's move Justin to the front of the mic.
Hey, girl.
Well, yeah, Timberlake did D in a Box. That was a Christmas song.
Yeah.
Now that is a modern Christmas classic.
All right. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get to sexual harassment. You know what? Get serious, will you?
Yeah, we got to talk about sexual harassment, Panda.
428. Lots of snow and ice everywhere we go. So, for example, I was just walking by 97.1 to go get my delicious bag of Dorito cool American chips.
Yeah.
And they were playing, they play Christmas music over there. And I listen to it if I'm in my car or whatever. I love listening to Christmas music this time of year.
As do I.
Because, it's Christmas. So it goes hand in hand. There's quite a synergy there. But I was walking by 97.1 and it's playing the same, they play the same songs over and over and over. There is not enough Christmas music out there. There just isn't.
There's not enough mainstream Christmas music. But if you look out there, a lot of the artists that maybe you like or that you've least heard of, they've done one-off Christmas songs that so you kind of have to do your own Christmas mix.
Why don't they play that stuff?
I don't know. Because
that's more interesting than...
It is, but I think when you're programming a radio station, remember, not everyone's... People are listening for 20 minutes at a time or 15 minutes. They play the hits, man. You're going to get the same kind of standard Christmas carols. But if you look out there, there's lots of people that have their own original Christmas music or their interpretation of classics. And you just have to find it. So I'm telling you, man, you need to put together your own Spotify or like your own YouTube playlist.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Of your Christmas music and then just go off of that.
Boom.
Because a lot of my favorite Christmas tunes are not even...
Who's... Like what?
Well, like... Some bands that I like that did, like Blues Traveler is one of my favorite bands, and they're not real popular anymore, but I want to say maybe 10 years ago on a very, they did one of those very special Christmas albums where, a bunch of bands get together, and they have one just called Christmas, and it's one of my favorite Christmas, and it's an original song that they wrote, and me and my kids love it. So every year around this time, my kids will be like, oh, play the Blues Traveler Christmas song, and I love that one. Martina McBride, who's the country singer, she has an album where she sings some traditional Christmas carols, and it's like an angel. She sings like the best rendition of Hark the Herald, and yet you never hear it on anything, but I'll go and find it during the holidays, and I'll play that one. And so you just kind of got to mix and match.
Yeah. All right. Well, nothing beats Wham's Last Christmas.
No.
But
have you done the Wham game this year?
What?
So, they have one... There's a little contest going on right now where you have to... The idea is, how long can you go without hearing
Last Christmas.
Last Christmas. But you can't actively try to avoid it. You have to listen to... Like, if you don't listen to Christmas music, then you can't play it. But if you're someone that likes to listen to Christmas music, you need to see... You say, okay, starting now, I'm going to see how long it takes me.
Okay.
And so, like, my daughter was doing this. My daughter loves Christmas music. And so she was saying... She made it, like, 4 hours. She happened to be walking through my mom's house, and my mom was watching something on, like, the Hallmark Channel or whatever, and they had it on in the background, and she's like, damn it! She was out in 4 hours.
This song right here.
Yeah.
So what's...
So you just... The goal is to see how long you can go. So if you regularly listen to Christmas music and just...
But you can't avoid it.
Yeah, you can't just say, I'm not going to listen to any Christmas music. You have to go about your day. But if you're in the car and you're like, hey, I'm going to listen to Christmas music, you can't turn it because this comes on. You just have to see how long you can go without hearing this song.
I'm going to start that.
Yeah, so starting today.
0 minutes.
0 minutes. How long can you go without hearing?
It's Wham, everywhere.
Last
it's
Christmas.
Absolutely everywhere.
It's fantastic.
As a matter of fact, last year...
Is this more everywhere than Mariah Carey's Christmas song?
It's tough.
Because you could do the same thing with the Mariah Carey one. The point is that they are like the two most popular songs. The other one that I hear all the time
is the Paul McCartney one. That song.
Simply
oh my God.
A wonderful Christmas.
That is the worst effing song of all time.
And there's like no words to it. It's just that over and over again. My favorite Christmas tune, like that kind of mass produced one, is the Bruce Springsteen Merry Christmas Baby. Like whenever that comes on, like that's like there's very few Christmas carols that you bump, right? Like you turn it up, that comes on in the car, that's going to 11. That gets the Spinal Tap version. I crank that up, try to be in a bad mood when Springsteen is doing that tune. And the cool part is they do the live one a lot from when he was on Conan O'Brien. I don't know why that one is so popular, but they play it on the radio when he was on Conan O'Brien. It was from like 15 years ago, but I freaking love it.
So last Christmas, see what I did there?
I see what you did.
We were in London for Christmas, and it was right when George Michael passed away. So they played this video. There was a TV channel in our flat that we were staying at that played this on loop. Kind of like we play Christmas story. We always play Christmas story,
on a loop.
This was on this video. Do you remember this video?
Yes.
Where they go up to the cabin and they throw snowballs at each other and probably do it.
What?
But he's gay.
And it was awesome. We watched it. We had it like on. We just had that in the background playing
on a loop
over and over and over while we got really drunk.
Did you throw some Careless Whisper in there for good measure?
No, it's Christmas.
But yeah, he wears the, he's got like the big like bearskin hood on, right?
Yeah.
And they're like trancing through the snow.
And they've got a bunch of people and they ski.
It's been a while since I've seen that, but I know the video of which you speak.
They're frolicking in the snow and they get done skiing and everything. And then they're hiking up to they get out of their cars and their vans and all their weird. They get all their gear and their booze, and they hike up to the cabin.
And then, you know.
So hot.
Now, what's the other guy's like, Andy something, right? The other guy of Wham?
Yeah, his name was.
People forget Wham wasn't just George.
No, it was the other, but it's always the other guy in Wham. Nobody knows his name.
It wasn't like a group. It was just, it was two.
It was the
them.
Two dudes.
And I think it was Andy something or
other. Yeah, it was. What was his name? His name was, oh my God.
I don't know. That's all I remember is I think it was
Andrew Ridgely.
Okay, George and Andy.
Yeah, George and Andy. Is Andrew Ridgely alive?
I don't know. I don't know what he's doing.
Alive.
Hey.
54. He lives in, he's alive.
How's he look?
I don't know.
Oh.
Probably not good.
Now I'm watching that video, though. What hair that George Michael had.
Oh, God.
He was a handsome devil.
Hey, you know what? Let me say something about George Michael. And
by the way, can I just say this has been a hell of a sports show today?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Why do I tease anything?
I don't know.
So George Michael was really freaking good.
Yeah.
And people, I mean, over there, maybe because I was over there right when he died, I was inundated with a lot of stuff. That about him.
He was a much bigger deal over there.
He was a huge deal over there. And so I maybe didn't have although he was a huge part of the 80s, you know.
Yeah, there were few artists that were more popular than him.
Like when Faith came out and he was shaking.
Yeah, Faith came out and Father Figure and
it was a big deal.
Dude, Andrew Ridgely now looks fantastic.
Really?
He looks like a math professor.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Bald.
You would never. I mean,
but it's a classy bald.
Yeah, look at him. He looks great.
Yeah, he does.
He just looks like a regular dude.
Yeah, tan. He's in shape.
Yeah, I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
So you were saying about
what was I talking about?
You were talking about George Michael.
Oh, he was really incredible as a performer. Yes. Like his concerts were some of the best concerts you could ever see.
Did not get some of the I think the credit because I think.
Yeah, he really didn't. He was more of like, I think a lot of people just thought of him as like this
kind of a
canned sort of artist that gets tossed out by the record labels and sells a bunch of albums, but he's not really that good. Dude, he could sing.
Well, I remember too, like when he got outed, it was still kind of a little bit of there was a stigma behind that, right? When he got outed. And so I think a lot of the jokes kind of came that way and people never really took him that seriously, I think over here after that. But if you... one of the, if you want, like, to me, the quintessential George Michael performance is, go look at when they, remember they did the Live Aid tribute to Queen?
Uh-huh.
And he goes out and sings Somebody to Love with the rest of Queen. Freaking goosebumps.
He, like, belts it out.
Like 110,000 people. That's that I want to see every single person, every single set of hands. When he does that, and then he does Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, just freaking chills.
Really good, man.
With how good George Michael is in front of the crowd. It's amazing.
And yes, Andrew Ridgeley did marry one of Bananarama.
What?
Yeah.
Get right the hell out of town.
Karen Woodward.
So Wham and Bananarama since... married?
Yeah, they've since separated, but... Yeah, he was married.
Well, look, if Wham and Bananarama can't, like, I'm never getting married. When people ask, like, if I'm going to get married again and I say no, that's why. I'm going to say, look, if Wham and Bananarama can't make it work, what the hell chance do I have?
Okay, so I'm going to say something about Bananarama. May I?
I'm your Venus. I'm your fire. Your desire.
Is that Bananarama?
I think that's Bananarama.
I don't think of that song.
Really?
Oh, not that. No. I don't want this. No. This is unacceptable.
Yeah, this is
I know it is, but this is unacceptable. There is only one Bananarama song that you should be playing right now, and it is This song is one of the best songs of the 80s, bar none.
You know what? The only thing I think of when this comes on is Real Genius.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
This, like, I instantly go to Real Genius.
This song is so good.
Bananarama.
One of the best of the 80s, I'm telling you. If you had a top 10 80s songs, that better be effing on it.
Really?
Or your list is a sham.
Can I put the Bengals on there?
What did they say? Things I can't understand. And I don't know what else they did other than that.
You're going to...
Oh, there we go. I heard a rumor.
You're going to put me into a whole vortex, like, driving home now. Can I also say that, for the record, and this probably is just like being old and nostalgia, but I love the trashy 80s, like, girl kind of look that, you know.
Oh, yeah, the side ponytail with the frizzed out hair and the acid wash guest jeans.
I love it. That's
your look?
That just, there's something about it. That just,
Cindy Lauper do it for you, does she?
The neon day-glow scrunchies.
I can't. It's probably because, like, you know, when you're like 12 and you're first, like, you're like, yeah, girl. So it's probably like ingrained in there. But when I see that, give me, like, was it Susanna Hoffs of the Bengals?
Yes, yeah. Susanna Hoffs.
Like, to this day, I see, like, a video there, and it touches me in a warm, friendly place. Just like, this is simply wonderful.
Susanna.
Oh yeah.
Mm. She's pretty.
I love
her. Her eternal flame.
Don't you love a woman who can play guitar?
Yes.
Like Joan Jett. Yes. I love Joan Jett.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Isn't that hot? You changed your wicked ways. All right.
Should we try to
get the Blazers are winning?
No, sure enough.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Go Blazers.
Is there any more nondescript NBA game than anything played in Orlando?
It's a good question.
I mean, honestly, like, the Blazers in Orlando, national, not to us because we have Blazer fans.
Yeah, Blazer fan.
Nationally, is this the single most mundane game of the, like, that you could get?
What if I gave you Sacramento and...
I was going to say Kings and...
Phoenix is good. What if Phoenix played Orlando? Do they play?
Yeah, they'll play eventually.
Let's play the fun game of how many people are there.
But, you know, Portland...
It's not a big
no
draw.
One cares about... Yeah, like...
Well, you remember you were watching the Heat game, and they showed that thing? It's one of those you could count the number of people. Like, hey, I was at the Heat game. I know I saw you. You were one of four people. Like, that's not a big draw.
Lita Ford, remember her?
I do remember Lita Ford.
She was badass, too.
I think she would pose naked or topless. She did, like, the...
That's disgusting.
I think she was, like, on the Spencer's Gifts posters. I think I've been into Spencer's Gifts just to look at Lita Ford posters.
All right. We got to go. Sexual harassment in sports, again, next on The Fan. So there's Popper.
Yeah, this is my, I think it's just called Christmas by Blues Traveler. One of my favorite Christmas tunes that I break out this time of the year.
Why? Okay, this is interesting. So this is an original?
Yeah, they wrote it for one of those. They do them every so often. They do it. It's called The Very Merry Christmas, and it benefits something or other, and a bunch of artists do one song.
Why is it that a certain set of songs are Christmas songs?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so this is technically a Christmas song because
he writes about, well,
he's talking about Christmas.
Yeah.
But it's not really, because, like, when did it get determined that Jingle Bells and Silent Night,
yeah,
and, you know, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, all those originals that have been done by a million different artists, those are Christmas songs. But then when somebody like Blues Traveler or The Killers do their own,
it's like a fringe kind of
thing. It's not really in the club.
It is interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because, like, if some radio stations will do traditional Christmas songs, and then there's other ones that, like, do more modern stuff where you get John Lennon or U2 or Bon Jovi or, you know, all the different people that have done Christmas songs. But yeah, there's two different categories of Christmas tunes, and very rarely do they mesh.
So if I'm at any show,
yeah,
and the artist plays Christmas music, I don't want it to be their original stuff.
You want it to be.
I want them to do, like,
the traditional
real
stuff.
Christmas songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're part of the problem then.
Apparently,
you need,
I
you
am.
Need to open your mind, Rob. Embrace your Christmas spirit.
Open my mind like Jerry Richardson of the Carolina Panthers.
No, don't open your mind like that.
So this is the latest on sexual harassment in sports.
And I love that, by the way, can I just put real quick, whenever you get accused of something like this, like TMZ, they find the best photo of the guy to put up there. The one that just looks like you're a dangerous predator, like you're a little disheveled and his hair is off kilter and he's scowling in the photo.
Yeah, I don't see that one here, but Jerry Richardson is the owner of the Panthers.
Yeah.
Carolina Panthers.
He's an old-time football player.
Oh, he is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I don't know anything about him. But the Panthers have announced an internal investigation into allegations of workplace misconduct against the team owner and founder.
Yeah. Now, I didn't see a bunch of details on this one, just that he's being accused of something. And then they put out a statement saying the entire organization is fully committed to ensuring a safe, comfortable, and diverse work environment where all individuals, regardless of sex, race, color, religion, gender, sexual identity, orientation, are treated fairly and equally. We have work to do to achieve this goal, but we are going to meet it.
Yeah, we don't know what's going on there.
No, but it's just interesting that the entire organization, including the owner, is is being looked into.
See what Matt Damon said?
No, he was going off about Weinstein, right?
Yeah, Matt Damon's in a little bit of hot water. You know, we were doing our three guys that you're most confident would not, three famous guys that you're most confident would not be accused of sexual misconduct.
Yeah.
And Matt Damon came up in that discussion.
Well, he seems like a super nice guy, but, you know, there was some talk that originally that he may have been tied to Weinstein, him and Affleck.
Well, he knew Weinstein.
Yeah.
And he obviously is buddies with Affleck, and Affleck's kind of a creepo, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a little bit of that reputation, yeah.
So Matt Damon came out and said, we need to correct the culture of outrage over sexual harassment. And he's pointing out that, and he even said, his quote is, touching someone on the butt. He says, you know, there's a difference between, you know, patting someone on the butt and rape or child molestation, right? He's getting a lot of heat for this.
Hmm. Well, You can't say, because basically,
sexual misconduct is sexual misconduct.
Yes.
And what he's trying to do is minimize certain sexual misconduct.
And that's the problem, because
you can't do that.
There's an underlying point in there if you'd be willing to not be an a-hole about it and actually try to say it better.
Technically,
yes. There is a difference between a guy that rapes someone, or, you know, the Kevin Spacey thing where you're trying to sleep with 13, you're trying to get 13-year-olds drunk, and the dumbass at work that has a potty mouth and swats someone on the tush as they walk by.
And the law designates as such.
Yes. You know, it doesn't mean that
you're
a giant creep either way. But yes, you should have these things treated equally. It's dangerous to throw a blanket over everyone and say that if you're accused or if you're guilty of, should be guilty, not accused, if you're guilty of sexual misconduct, we actually take a look at what you did as opposed to saying, you know, if someone does something to the office and all of a sudden you're Weinstein or you're Spacey or you're one of these other, you're Bill Cosby, like there's just different levels of it. It's just that came across as trying to sound dismissive and be like, oh, there's fake outrage, because that D-bag that's out there doing it now, you see it all the time where you get these people that are chiming in and be like, I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of these stories. Why did they come, before? Why did it take you 20 years to come out? It's ridiculous. I can't be a guy anymore. He's that jerk.
But he's one of, that's who he is. That's what he's doing here.
There's a little bit of that.
He's saying we have to correct this culture of outrage because, you know, slapping somebody on the butt isn't that bad. Except that what women, and I love, one of the things, the best things about this sexual misconduct, this whole thing, is that really smart women on social media are literally skewering,
just eviscerating dumbasses like
these opinions. I mean, they just, and it's so easy.
Yeah.
For women, they're like, what is the big shock about all this? We've been having to put up with this for years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
And you guys are all, you know, crying this and that and the other. Dude, this is like the least shocking thing ever for women. And it's also very easy for them to come out and just completely shoot down opinions like this.
And it's
great when it happens.
Exactly, because you can see that the guys to this day still don't get it. Like Warren Sapp, right? Warren Sapp's giving out vibrators for Christmas presents. And then when someone calls him on, he's like, what? They were cute. I thought it was funny.
Cher said, there's a difference between Ben Affleck as Daredevil and Ben Affleck as Batman. But it doesn't mean both aren't bad. I thought that was good in response to Matt Damon.
Well played.
Yeah. So anyway, Matt Damon's in some hot water. And he didn't even sexually harass anyone that we know of.
Give it time.
We also have some more sexual harassment news coming up in the club where we've got more on Dustin Hoffman. And we have the first guy to go preemptive on sexual harassment. Did you see this?
I did see this. And I don't know what to make of it.
He has not been accused, but he's saying,
he's taking heat for admitting what he did. That's a fascinating thing.
So we'll get to that a little bit later. But up next, the Hot 5 at 5, the top 5 sports stories of the day. Carlos Santana has a new home. More on Seth Collins. And will Tyrell Crosby play for the Ducks? All next on The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.